field now ripened, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling to the harvest, calling you. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. Does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? It is great if God is in it, and He'll not forget His own. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. When the conflict here is ended and our race on earth is run, He will say to all the faithful, welcome home, my child, well done. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. Little is much, isn't it? And we got new mics here, and so I'm trying to find this. I think I got it, Brother Chris. Can we get it on there? All right. Little is much. I want to give you a little encouraging word. On Wednesday night, we had a gentleman here who had been visiting, and he had been here several times, a good friend of Brother Nate's. Brother Nate and his wife, family, are on vacation this weekend. We have several folks out on vacation this weekend. And he'd been coming for several weeks. And on Wednesday night, I gave the invitation, as we always do, and he raised his hand that he was not saved. And so he met me over in the hall and was able to tell him about Christ. And if you heard the message, I talked about God's plan, that salvation is not my plan, it's God's plan. And went through the gospel with him. And I've never had anyone quite say this to me, and it encouraged my heart. He looked at me and he says, I have never heard anything that is more clear than that. That is the Holy Spirit of God, my friend. And so he gloriously got saved on Wednesday night. And I know he'll be back. And he wanted to make a public profession of faith, let the church know that he trusted Christ. But he was a great encouragement to me. I want you to pray for him. His name is Tom. And you lift Brother Tom up. And we're just so delighted to be able to have met him. And I know Brother Nate. And I brought all that up because little is much. That's why our friendships and our influences are so important. Because of the friendship of Brother Nate and the influence of Brother Nate, he was able to be here in this place, hear the gospel, and got saved. And so I thank God for that. Would you open the precious word of God this morning to the book of Revelation? As all of you know, if you've been listening, you've been attending, you know that I've started a series of messages out of the book of Revelation. And again, I want you to know on purpose, it's the book of the Revelation, not the book of Revelations. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ, not the Revelations. And we are trying to quickly now go just a little bit to get us caught up. Many weeks ago, I preached a message on Come Up Hither. We talked about the rapture of the church. So it's very important when you study the book of Revelation, the key verse to open to guide, the guide to the book is Revelation 1:19. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. So as you read the book of Revelation, that must be the guide. That must be the key to open the book. So chapter 1 is the things that had been seen. Chapter 2 and chapter 3 were the things John wrote down which were. That was the seven churches that were going on during John's day. These were real live churches just like us, with people, the people of that church, just like us. They hurt like us, they cried like us, they rejoiced like us, they struggled just like us. They were carrying on the work of God just like us. And God named those churches in chapter 2, chapter 3. But chapter 4 is very distinct and very clear, because in chapter 1, verse 19, the Lord told him to write the things which will be hereafter. So chapter 4 marks everything that was from hereafter. So he's talking about future events. So chapter 4, verse 1, we realize that that's the rapture of the church. You must understand that. The Bible says that the Lord is going to descend from heaven with a shout, and he's going to rapture the church. The people that are saved, they're going to be raptured. They're going to be caught up and to be with the Lord. Now, if you understand this day, you know, years ago, we have this fascination with alien abductions. And we have all these fascinations here in our world. And some people might think nothing about it, but listen to me, there's going to be the world's going to give a great reason why millions of people are gone. And people are going to believe it. But as a Christian, we know that the saved people, the people that have been redeemed, they're going to be caught up to be with the Lord. They're going to disappear. They're no longer going to be on this earth. They're going to be caught up to be with the Lord forever. That's called the rapture. Then after the rapture, when you read the book of Revelation chapter 4, you understand the Bible said, verse 1, and after this I looked, in chapter 4, and after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, notice these words, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. So now you correlate that with chapter 1, verse 19. He very clearly says, now from this point on, we've talked about the things which are, the things which have been seen, but now everything from this point on will be here. So this is future. This is future. Future. And so as we were talking about this future last week, we looked at chapter 4, verse 2. The Bible says, and immediately I was in the Spirit and beheld a throne was set in heaven and one sat on the throne. So here's the key. The moment the church is raptured, the Bible says immediately the ones that are raptured, the ones that are saved, the ones that know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, they're in the throne room. We talked about that last week, being in the throne room of heaven. Now today, I want to continue, and we're going to continue, we're going to still remain in the throne room of God in heaven. Now listen to me. Tonight takes a totally different turn. Tonight, we're going to be in the throne room of God, but at the same time, while the saved are in the throne room of God, God unleashes these seals. They're going to open the seals, and there's going to be great judgment on this earth. So the ones that are left behind, that's going to be living during the tribulation period, they're going to live in a life and a world that is full of chaos and confusion, violence. And we're going to start looking at that tonight. But I want to rather just gather around. Our theme today was we've gathered to worship. But this morning, before we go into this great scene of judgment, I want to just linger here in the throne room a little while. I want to gather around and let's worship the one that is worthy to be worshiped. So if you'll look at the passage of Scripture, you'll find it in chapter 5, verse 8. The Bible says, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and nation. people a nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them, notice this now, church, 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing, and every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. Lord, I pray now as you help us, as we look into thy word, that you'll encourage us, help us, speak to us. Lord, there's someone in this building today, they do not know you as their personal Savior. I pray the Holy Spirit of God will help them. And Lord, they'll be drawn to you today. If there's someone listening online, I pray you'll use this in their hearts. Help us now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we are in the throne room. And I want to say, Jesus, our precious Lord, the worthy Lamb, has just taken the book out of the right hand of God, and he's getting ready to open the seals because he's the only one worthy. Now, I want to just say to you this morning, this is a worship service like none of us have ever seen before in our life. You understand what I'm saying? This is going to be a worship service like we've never seen in our life. We get an up-close view of praise that will be offered as the redeemed gather around the throne. They're gathering into worship in heaven. We will all worship the holy Lord Jesus, listen to me, without any hindrances. Hey, with no popping mics, amen? There won't be no sin limiting us. There'll be no distractions limiting us. All eyes will be on Jesus Christ, the one worthy to be worshipped. And I'm so thankful that God gives us a glimpse in heaven. We will worship without any hindrances or any limitations. So let's just take a moment this morning and let's just worship together around their throne. I want you to notice, number one, the picture of worship. Now, I hope all of you can use your mind. I hope that you, one thing I'm a little concerned about children today is, you know, when I was a kid, I used to play make-believe. How many of y'all used to play make-believe? Would y'all raise your hand? You know, I've noticed a lot of children don't do that today. Make-believe, that's stupid. No, make-believe is a part of growing and being able to use your mind. See, we live in a day where the children let everybody else let them think for them. By the way, I don't want my government thinking for me. Somebody say amen. I can think just fine for myself, thank you, sir. But I say here, I want us to get a picture here. I want us, because Brother Larry said this yesterday, Brother Larry, this ain't a fairy tale. This is real. And one day here after a while, we're going to be there. If you're saved and you know the Lord, you're going to be there. So we ought to go ahead and I'm going to tell you what I'm doing this morning. I'm making a picture in my mind and I'm making this thing personal. I'm right there in the throne room. I'm picturing it in my mind. I'm right here in the throne room. I'm trying in my mind's eye to see thousands and thousands and tens times 10,000 worship the Lord. I'm in my mind trying to see the cherubims and the seraphims and all of God's creation worshiping him and bowing down to him. I'm there. Are you there? The picture. I've learned to try and place myself among these happenings. We ought to get the picture in our mind. We ought to make it personal. Why? Because these events involve the redeemed. We're there. They are personal to every born-again child of God. With that's in our mind, we need to try to picture these events from personal perspective. So I want you to, and I know our little finite minds can't under and comprehend it all, but in the throne room of God, I mean, that's why I've been working. That's why I've been trusting the one I've been trusting all these years. One day, my faith is going to be sight. So the picture. What's the picture of worship? Well, I want you to notice, As we look at this passage of scripture, I want you to notice our posture. What's our posture look like? Look at verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Now I want you to notice the Bible says, when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders, I want you to notice these next two words, fell down. That's the posture. Can I help everybody this morning? Out of respect, if someone in our political realm would walk through these doors, out of respect, especially if it was the President of the United States, no matter who he was, we would stand out of respect and clap and applaud him. But I'm going to promise you this. When we enter into Jesus Christ's presence, there will be no standing and clapping. The Bible says they would fall down. We will be prostrate on the floor. Can't get low enough. So we hear a lot about praise and worship today. Well, let's talk about real worship. What is it? It's not elevating ourselves. It's not making much of us. We see it right here in the book. When we come into the presence of the Holy, Holy, Holy. And by the way, we won't be made to fall down. It will not be an edict to fall down. I'm going to tell you, we will be compelled to fall down. Wasn't it in Isaiah chapter 6 when he seen the Lord high and lifted up? What did he say? He said, woe is me. You know something I've learned in these last 4 or 5 months? Oh, wretched man that I am. Woe is me. I want you to know, the posture of worship is not getting it up and getting high. It's getting down. In obeisance and humility before the Lord. We'll be compelled. You say, Pastor, that will be uncomfortable. No. Because everybody be doing it. I want you to notice, and when he had taken the book and the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are in the prayers of the saints. It's going to be everybody there. And I'm telling you right now, our posture, there won't be any good thoughts of our deeds. There won't be any good thoughts of, well, here's what I've done and this is what I've done. All of that's going to pale in comparison to the one that has died for us. The one that has given all for us. And so I want you to notice that they were compelled to fall before him in worship. So if we're compelled to worship him in heaven, don't you think we ought to go ahead and get a head start on it? Are you worshiping him today? Do you worship him every day? Do you worship him every moment of your life? That you're in humble admiration to the Lord. You're living a life. You say, I got it. No, a life of worship is, Lord, I don't have it and I need you. I'm in complete dependence upon you today. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I want every man to look me in the face because I want to talk to every man here just a minute. We need more men like that. See, men are so capable. We're so capable. We've been told as a very young child, boy, you can do it. And by the way, I think men should be tough. They ought to be hard workers. But I'm going to tell you right now, a man is not weak because he's tender. You hear me? A man is not weak because he's tender. Jesus Christ, the greatest man that's ever walked on this earth, was a tender man. But I'm going to tell you something. Every man ought not be ashamed of his Savior. I say our posture to live in complete dependence upon him. They were prostrate on the floor. I want you to notice not only what did it look like. The picture of worship was our posture. Everybody's down. They were in complete obedience to him. But number two, I want you to notice their praise. Hey, listen, clearly this is a picture of the redeemed in heaven offering praise unto the Lord. Why were they praising him? Because of who he was. What he has done. And what he's about to perform, he's worthy to be praised. His promises are completely fulfilled, but many prophecy things are still yet to be fulfilled, but they're going to come to pass. But then I notice something else here. Look at verse 8. We see the praise. We see being prostrate on the floor, their posture. But I want you to notice the very last part of the verse. The Bible says, And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors. Notice this, which are the prayers of the saints. I thought that interesting. Prayers of the saints. These golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Here's what that helped me. Can you imagine all of the prayers of the redeemed of all time? Have you thought about your prayers at night when you're burdened at heart and you can't do anything but pray and cry? You think, oh, there's a God in heaven that doesn't pay attention to those prayers. No, listen, we know He does. Because the Bible says He's kept every prayer that a saint has prayed. I don't know about you, but that encourages me. Not one prayer has went unnoticed with our wonderful Savior. So you know what I say? Keep praying. This day, as we're praying for Brother Gene, keep praying. God's hearing in them. He's never forsook one prayer. We have people all the time come to us and say, Pastor, will you put this on the prayer sheet? Will you put this on the prayer sheet? And I want every member of our church to know this. Reading this passage, it has moved me in such a way that I will never take one prayer request lightly anymore. Because God doesn't. Isn't He a good God? Bible says these odors, these prayers. I thought about all the mamas that went to bed at night with tears. There's things going on that they can't change. I've thought about all the prayers of the Old Testament saints. Millions upon millions of prayers. God's kept record of every one of them. I'm so thankful. Every prayer the saints have prayed has entered into the presence of God. He's not forgotten nor ignored one of them. That's going to be what the picture of worship looks like. Prayers are going to be involved. But number two, the purpose of worship. We find out something about a purpose here. Look at verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and native. You understand what that song is? That's the good old story that never grows old. The story of redemption. I want you to notice there's a purpose of worship. They sung a new song, but it's still the song of the old story that never loses its power. It never loses its splendor. It's a song of praise lifted up to magnify the Lamb who is worthy. The song comes from their hearts of those who's. Now I want you to think about this. Why are they singing? Can you imagine? Have you ever wanted to see something for so long, you just can't wait to see it, and then when you see it, you can't help but just get excited about it? Well, this is what's happened. I want you to put yourself there. How long have you been saved? Can I ask, is there anyone in this building this morning, you've been saved for over 50 years? Would you raise your hand? You've trusted Christ and you've been saved 50 years. Would you raise your hand? All right, now I want to just speak to all of you just a minute. Now, you know, can you imagine knowing someone and hearing about someone and loving someone for 50 years, but you haven't been able to see them? That's why they sung a new song, because finally the one that has proved himself to them by faith has become sight. And they can't help but just say praise and glory to the one that they finally seen that has done everything for them. A new song. I want you to notice their redemption. Look at verse 9. The Bible says, it's very simple, and they sung a new song. Why? Because thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain. Why was he slain? Why was Jesus Christ slain? Historical fact, Jesus Christ was on this earth 2,000 years ago and he died on a cross. There's no history book. Now they might try to rewrite it, they might try to deny it, but the truth is it does not change fact. Jesus Christ was historically fact on this earth in the Middle East and he died on a cross. How many of y'all believe that? We all know that. Why? Because our time, our calendar, everything has been made based on Christ's birth and death. So for someone to say, oh, I just don't believe there's a God and I don't believe Jesus ever lived, they're not correct because we know Jesus Christ was. But that's not even really the problem. The question is, why did he come and why did he die? You know, we can get caught up and say, well, was he really here? We all know he was really here. But the question that needs to be answered is why? Why did he come? You ever thought about that? I was speaking to a young lady the other day, and she was burdened. She was at a funeral. I gave the gospel, and I was so glad she came and talked to me after the service, and she talked to me about salvation. She was struggling with some things. And the question is, why did Jesus Christ come to this? Okay, well, someone might say, well, Jesus Christ was a good man. He healed people while he was here. He made people have a better life. You know, he touched people's bodies. He made blinded eyes see. He made the lame to walk. But he came for more than that. The Bible said he came to seek and to save that which is lost. So why did he die? Who put him to death? You know, years ago, everybody was upset with the Jewish people because they put him to death. Or was it the Romans? Listen to me. It was neither. Before the foundation of the world, it was God's plan for Christ to die. That takes care of a lot of thoughts. But why did he, his coming, why is that important to you? Why is that important to me? Why is it important to all of these people that's gathered around the throne? Why are they praising him? He had to come. Why did he come? How many of y'all like to do roofing on a house? Does anybody like doing that? Would you raise your hand if you, because I want you to come up here and shake my hand and sign my Bible. How many of y'all like to roof a house? Would you raise your hand in the middle of the summer? Would y'all raise your hand? Anybody? So can I ask every man here, how many of you would just, because you like to, get up in the middle of the summer and get up and roof a house just because you wanted to do it? Is there anybody like that today? Because we might need to get you checked out. Anybody? Okay. Why is that? Because you have enough sense not to. What if a roof didn't need repaired and you say, you know what, I know that roof don't need repair, but I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go up there and repair it just because I feel like it. Is there anybody like that to do that? Then look, if we have enough sense, no, not to repair a roof, something that's not broke, look at me. Jesus Christ would have never came to this earth unless he had to. So when someone says, oh, Jesus Christ plus you got to get baptized, Jesus Christ plus you got to join the church, Jesus Christ plus you got to obey the Ten Commandments. Well, wait a minute, then Jesus didn't need to come if something else could save us. Y'all with me? So why did he come? There's the great question. He was slain for us. Why? He redeemed us. He bought us back. Our sin had sold us. Our sin had separated us from God. And we have a loving God that loved us anyway. And he paid the price to bring us old nasty sinners back to him. I don't know about you, but that's conquered me. I just can't get past that. Because I know men, I know us, I know, you know, we don't even want to go out of our way to help somebody. We're all so selfish. And all we really think about is ourselves anyway. And I know I am. I'm speaking for myself. I mean, it's hard for me to wake up in the morning and want to put myself out for somebody else. So when I know that I had a God that did all this for me, I just can't help but love him. I just can't help but love him for it. I stand amazed that he did this for me. He redeemed me. He bought me back. My sin separated me, but he redeemed me. So they're singing. And why? They're singing because of his sacrifice on Calvary. We won't sing because of our deeds. We won't sing because of what we've done. We're going to sing because of what he's done for us. Then I want you to notice our relationship. Verse 10, this is what the purpose of worship. He's redeeming us. Why? To look what he does and has made us unto our God, kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth with him. Here's what's exciting about this, our relationship. Our relationship is wonderful. Christians will no longer be suppressed and a minority due to sin. We shall be part of the glorious kingdom of God, reigning victorious upon this earth one day here after a while. But I want you to notice verse 12. Look at our Redeemer. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Thank God, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. You know why nobody could pay the price of sin? You know why no man, no human can pay the price of sin? because our sin, our blood's tainted. We're all born a man and woman. And the Bible very clearly tells us in the book of Corinthians that that sin has passed upon every man. And by the way, y'all love babies. Ain't babies cute? You know, I used to say you don't see a whole lot of pretty ones when they first, you know, they're first born, because, you know, usually their head's oblong and, you know, they look like they've been beat up. Amen? But my goodness, what them precious little things have to come through to enter into this life. But I want you to know something. Every baby's precious, but here's one thing we need to remember. They're little sinners. Isn't it amazing how, and we have two grandchildren, it's amazing to me how you don't have to teach them to lie. We teach them not to lie. Somebody say amen. You don't have to teach them to be selfish. They already know how to be selfish. You got to teach them to share. Why? The Bible tells it right. We're all born sinners. We've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. But praise God. Again, looking at our Redeemer. He's worthy. He was slain. He paid the price. You thankful this morning? Our Redeemer. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. He will be our focus and praise. Can I just clear me off a little spot here just a minute? Chris, I'm coming down. Y'all get your masks on because there might be some spit flying. I'm about up to here with man worship. I'm up to here with it. We want to lift up people all the time. We want to lift them up. Say, oh, I'll tell you right now, he's worthy, he's great. Well, we've come to find out that ain't nobody good but God. And you know what? We're put out with it with other people lifting up men, but I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be honest with you. We live in a day where it's so easy to make gods out of everything. We worship things with our time. We worship things with our talents. We worship our things with all of the best parts of our lives. But I want everybody to know, based on this verse right here, only he's worthy of praise. When we get to heaven, I'm going to tell you something right now. We're not going to be focused on that glass sea. We're not going to be focused on the throne. We're not. And by the way, I'm looking forward to meeting Peter and Paul. I'm looking forward to meeting all these great men and all of these men that we've read. But I'm going to tell you right now, listen to me now, church. All eyes are going to be focused on him. You ever just seen something so beautiful you can't take your eyes off of it? Helen, you understand what I'm saying, don't you? We witnessed this last year. We went to Maine. The church was so kind to send us to Maine. By the way, beautiful place. And I made this statement. And I'm not a big, you know, you live in West Virginia. I mean, you can see about the most beautiful geography you're going to look at. But I'm going to be honest with you. I told Laurie, it's so beautiful up there. Here's what I said. I couldn't take my eyes off of it. Y'all know what I'm saying? When we get to heaven, he's going to be so beautiful, so loved. We are going to be in such a state of thankfulness and worship and praise, we won't take our eyes off of him. And I don't know about y'all, I can't wait. And I guess by the sound of nobody saying amen, y'all can. How many of y'all with me? You can't wait. You know, through all this thing, you know, people say, you know, I've said it, and I've said it from day one, I'll say it to now. Don't threaten me with heaven. Don't threaten me with heaven. That's kind of where we're wanting to get, ain't it? Why? Because he's there. Our Redeemer. And then quickly, let me just, as I close, and you're getting out early. Someone texted me last Sunday night because I let the church out about 10, 12 minutes early. And they said, who in the world was that short-winded preacher? I said, don't y'all get used to it. But you know what? Jesus Christ was slain for you and me. He's our source of salvation. We were redeemed by the finished work at Calvary. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? I'm not asking you, do you have religion? I'm not asking you, do you join in a church? I'm not asking you, are you keeping the Ten Commandments? I'm asking you, Have you met personally the Lord Jesus Christ by faith? Have you met Him? We say, Pastor, how you meet Him? By faith. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You meet Him by faith. I'm so thankful Tom met Him by faith. We went through the gospel on Wednesday night, and he looked at me, he said, I've never more clearly understood anything than this. And boy, when I said, well, would you like to call upon the name of the Lord? He said, absolutely. And he prayed right there in my office. And he asked the Lord to save him by faith. And you know the moment he did that? He entered into a relationship with Him. By faith. Why? Because He has paid the price for our soul. And by the way, Jesus Christ is God's plan. We ought to rejoice today because of our Redeemer. I hope you're rejoicing. But then I want you to notice as we close, the participants in worship. We're gathering around here. There's different participants here. There's some from the north. There's some from the south. There's some from Alabama. We've got some Yankees here. Brother Jim Beeler's over here. He's teaching the, he's doing the children's church, but he's a proud Michigan man. Amen? He married a Yankee. She's a proud in Illinois. Any else in here proud to be a northerner? We got an Indianan right here. We got another Pennsylvanian here. Praise God, there's different participants here today. We're worshiping the Lord. How many of y'all drove a Ford here this morning? Would you raise your hand? How many of you drove a Chevy? Would you raise your hand? How many of you drove at all? Would you raise your hand? Did anybody walk? Because, I mean, I think there would be more Fords and Chevys than that. How many of you walked to church this morning? Brother Palmer was. We picked him up. Amen? You say, well, what do you mean? Well, here's what I mean by this. There's different participants here. Isn't it amazing how God can take a vast, different, various group of people that have different likes, dislikes, weaknesses, and strength, bring us together, and we're all worshiping the same God? We all have different stories, but we're all going to be doing the same thing in heaven, worshiping Him. Who's the participants? I love this. Look at verse 11. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. See, sometimes we as Christians think, well, we're just a little old small group. We're the minority. No, wait a minute now. The Bible says there's going to be thousands upon thousands, tens of thousands times 10,000. There's going to be a lot in heaven. Amen. And we're all going to be doing the same thing, worshiping Him. So we see, not only that, we see the celestial beings are worshiping. Angels are worshiping. Brother Mike, you and I heard a message years ago, things that angels look into. Do y'all know angels don't know what it means to be saved? They look into it. They watch us and think, man, that's unique. We don't know what it means to be redeemed. Why? Because they were created beings. And I heard a preacher say they're window peepers. They're peeping in the windows. You like that, Brother Larry? They're peeping in the windows because they're watching us, bunch of crazy people down here. They don't know the joy of being saved. They wish they could know more about it. They don't know what it means to be a fallen race and a God in heaven loved them so much that He sent Himself, that He gives us a way to be saved. And so the angels are enamored by us. Sometimes we look up there and say, man, I wish I was an angel. The angels wishes they were us. Here it is. They are worshiping. Not because they've been redeemed, because they haven't been redeemed. They're worshiping Him because He's worthy of their worship. Angels are going to worship. Cherubims are going to worship. Seraphims are going to worship. Those are different kinds of angels. The celestial beings. But then I want you to notice this. The converted beings will worship. Look at verse 11. 10,000 times. 10,000 and thousands of thousands. That means every saint of God is going to be doing the same thing. We're going to be worshiping the Lamb. We're going to be worshiping the Lamb. I say this to people now, and I know it's kind of a jest, but, you know, please don't take it like, but I'm going to say it anyway because I do think it kind of does put things in perspective. I wonder what Christians that don't like coming to church are going to do in heaven. Somebody say amen. I mean, I'll tell you what, church is boring. Well, church, heaven's going to be a little bit more boring then. But here's the difference. You'll know better then. I'll know better then. I'll never get tired of worship with my perfect body, my perfect mind. I can't wait for the day. I say, worshiping the Lord, they're all worshiping. The converted beings, each and every child of God will be praising the worthy Lamb. Think about the Old Testament saints. I think of Mary, Martha. Hey, I think of all the New Testament saints. I think of Lazarus. Hey, what about Zacchaeus? You know, that little song that we sing all the time. You know, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed. We're going to get to meet him. But not only are we going to get to meet him, he's going to be doing the same thing we are. Of all ages. What a day that will be. And then quickly, can I say, who else is going to participate? Well, I thought this interesting. All created beings are going to worship. He said, Pastor, where do you see that? Look at verse number 13. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such are in the sea, and all that are in therein, in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and to the Lamb forever. I'm going to tell you right now, every created being, every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, such are that are in the sea, they're going to be praising. Listen, many today accept, they reject and refuse to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. Don't be the one. Why is church so important? Is it a gathering center? Well, it's good to see our church family. But we have work to do, church. We have a message that the world needs. We have a hope that the world has nothing about. But we have time now to try to get people to understand that their time is limited. One thing through all this 5 months of this pandemic has brought more fear about the end than I've heard in my lifetime. And I often wonder, well, what if it is the end? Where are you going to be? What's going to happen? See, as a Christian, we know it already. We're not arrogant about it, but we know what the Bible teaches. We have hope. We have peace. I've read the last chapter, and we're going to go through this whole book, and we're going to learn so much. But we can't get past this. Right now, we have an opportunity to trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. We can help others come to know the truth. There'll be a day for everyone that has heard the gospel. When the rapture takes place, they will be deceived. We've got to stay busy, church. Tonight, we're going to meet the four horsemen. I can promise you, there's nobody we know and love that we want to be left behind. Nobody. There is nobody that we know and love that we want to be left behind for the tribulation period. God help us. As we gather around and worship the one that we should worship today, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, I pray it will also move us, motivate us, give us a desire to be helping others come to the truth. If you're here this morning and you do not know for sure if you die, you're going to heaven, look at me. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. But certainly don't walk out the door still not knowing. You're in a place where you can get help. Jesus Christ is the way. We will help you meet him today. And our church will rejoice. Right, church? Amen. How many of you are thankful for the day that you trusted Christ as your Savior? Would you raise your hand? Amen. You're not ashamed, are you? And church is a good place to get saved. Let's stand to our feet as we worship this one, our Savior. Do you know Him? Do you know Him? That's the question. Do you know Him? With head bowed and eyes closed, and Miss Donna's going to play something softly on the piano. Head bowed, eyes closed. I want you to put yourself there. Can you put yourself there in the throne room? It's not because you've earned it. It's not because we deserve it. But it's because you have trusted Christ as your Savior. You've trusted Him. You've trusted Him. Can I ask this morning, you say, Pastor, I'm going to just tell you right now this morning with an uplifted hand, I am so grateful for my Savior, and I have trusted Him as my personal Savior. And by way of testimony, you slip your hand up, you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Isn't that wonderful? That's wonderful. Can I ask this question? You say, Pastor, I'm here this morning, and I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know for sure if I die, I'm going to heaven. I don't know if I've met Christ as my Savior. I've been confused about it. Would you pray for me? Now look, I'm going to keep my promise. I will not embarrass you. But would you slip your hand up where I could see it so I could pray for you? Would you do that? Is there anyone like that this morning? You say, Pastor, I'm here, and I don't know for sure if I die, I'm going to heaven. Would you slip your hand up? Well, by way of everyone's testimony here this morning, that we have a group of people that know Jesus Christ as our Savior. Why don't we worship Him? How about we thankful and praise to Him today for all He's done? Can I ask this question in closing? How many of you know someone and you're concerned about them? You don't know for sure if they die, they're going to heaven. You're concerned about them. You don't have to give a name, but you're concerned about them. Would you slip your hand up? Can I ask you something else? Will you get their face in your mind? Will you get their face in your mind? How many of you have their face in your mind? You got it in your mind? Would you do something? If you're able, would you come around this altar and would you pray for that person? That God would work in their heart. Would you come? Would you come? As she softly plays. Around that throne room, every prayer, the Lord remembers. Maybe your prayer for your loved one, your friend, your family member today. You know, when it comes to people, we're so helpless, aren't we? There's so many. We're put in helpless situations where we have no power to do anything. We just don't have any power to do anything. We can't break through as people. But I know God can. I know God can. And that's who we're trusting. That's who we're trusting. That's who we're trusting. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Miss Katie Hammonds is here. Bless her heart. And Miss Katie just faithfully helped with her husband for so long. And the Lord took him home. And Miss Katie's just not able to be in here. And so she's just so thankful to be back. And you know what? She came, and I'm humbled this morning. She came this morning. She said, Pastor, I've just been gone so long. She said, I just feel like I need to rededicate myself to the Lord. God help us.
for all of us to be like that. So, Miss Katie, I appreciate your encouragement. She just wants to refresh herself in the Lord, and I'm just honored and thankful that you're here today. Thank you for being humble, and that ought to be a lesson for all of us. Keep ourselves in the love of God. How about, Miss Katie, won't you go to the back? You know, she was faithfully married to the same gentleman for over 60 years. And she, right by his side to the very end. And we understand, and the Lord understands, she needed to be there. But I just thought, look, if y'all are comfortable, y'all go by and just let her know how much you appreciate her and praying for her. And we're glad she's been able to be back. How many of y'all glad to be in church this morning? Amen. I'm glad too. Be back tonight. Now listen, we're going to take some drastic turn tonight. We're going to look at the seals. The first four are the four horsemen. Each one rides a different color horse. Each one represents a different kind of judgment. And so be back tonight. And I hope and pray it'll be very helpful. Thank you, all of you that are visiting today. God bless you. Hope the service enjoyment again. It's not back to normal completely, but we'll compensate that a little bit by letting y'all out early. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your goodness and grace. Lord, I pray you'll help us to just catch a glimpse of this throne room. Lord, help us to worship you today. You're the only one worthy. I pray you'll help us. Thank you for Miss Katie. Continue to help her. Lord, I do ask you now, please touch Brother Gene. Your will be done. I pray you'll help that family. And we'll thank you for what you do. Bring us back tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.